Okay, so today's Bible reading is 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 to 11, the day of the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. No one wants to be found out. We're happy to see others found out. We love a good blooper reel. We celebrate the efforts of journalists and activists who expose injustice and uncover corruption, those who publicise the dirty secrets of the rich and the powerful. But we all have flaws and failures. We all have dirty laundry, and no one likes to be found out. We'll do a lot of things if we think that we won't be found out. In every web browser now, there's a mode that lets you go to websites that you wouldn't normally admit to. Every year, Schoolies Week, which is far from home and responsibility and repercussions, has shameless high-risk activities going on. Every week of every year, Las Vegas promises that what happens in Vegas mostly will stay in Vegas. And this year, we've seen footage of people who thought they were not being watched, of an SAS soldier shooting an unarmed Afghan man, of the police in Minnesota kneeling on George Floyd as he died. And that chance video has led to demonstrations, and those demonstrations have created an opportunity in the night for looting and arson. We will do many things if we don't think we'll be found out. In the Old Testament, Job cried out, "Why does the Almighty not set times for judgment? Why must those who know him look in vain for such days?" And then he talks about the oppression and suffering of the poor. And then he starts to speak about darkness. This is Job 24 from verse 13. "There are those who rebel against the light, who do not know its ways or stay in its paths. When daylight is gone, the murderer rises up and kills the poor and needy. In the night, he steals forth like a thief. The eye of the adulterer watches for dusk. He thinks, 'No one will see me,' and he keeps his face concealed. In the dark, men break into houses, but by day they shut themselves in. They want nothing to do with the light. For all of them, deep darkness is their mourning. They make friends with the terrors of darkness." We don't like to be found out. And some of us believe that we won't be. God warns us through the Bible this morning that there is no escape from being found out. There is no escape. I hope that you've kept your Bible open at 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 1, "Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labour pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape." They will not escape. There is no escape from being found out. There are lots of ways to respond to a crisis, to escape. We might plan to fight it off, to be in a position of strength. We might recognise our weakness and run away. We may trust that we can buy what we need to survive. I think we've seen all of those responses in the coronavirus crisis. Perhaps even we'll be able to pay off our enemies or buy our freedom. Or we may be escapists. We may just be in denial that the crisis will ever come. I'm sure there are university students at this moment in denial that their exams are coming. Of course, there are many others who are studying because they won't be found out. I think that's why some people want to know the due date for Jesus' return. They want a deadline. They want to know the times and seasons because maybe, given foresight, given some preparation time, maybe we could escape it somehow. But Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, "We don't need to write to you about times and dates, for you know very well that we won't get a warning." And Paul used two illustrations to help us understand. And they're both things that Jesus said. You can find him saying the first one in Matthew and in Luke, and 2 Peter and Revelation both repeat it. "The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. The thief prepares and approaches and suddenly steals and destroys. But in the dark, no one can see him coming. Destruction will come suddenly." Though Jesus Christ is preparing, we can't see him because we're in the dark. Australians will be relaxed and comfortable because that day will be unexpected and sudden. The second picture that Paul uses is a pregnant woman, and in fact, labour pains. Labour pains aren't, well, they're not unexpected. You know they're going to happen, but they're unexpectable. They will happen sometime. One young wife went into labour on a quiet evening when her husband was enjoying a couple of beers at home. And consequently, he was not able to drive her to the hospital, and she had to get a taxi. You don't know exactly when they're going to come. You can see the pregnancy, but there's no countdown. Not even for us, and certainly not in Paul's time. So, sudden, unexpected, unexpectable destruction of the old order. The Lord will come, and all injustice and impurity and imperfection and failure and hatred and corruption and decay, all of it will be defeated and judged. All of it. No escape. In the day of the Lord, there will be no escape from being found out. But for us, this is not bad news. Because for us, on the day that we are found out, we will be found. We look forward to being found by the Lord Jesus Christ, because he brings us salvation. Let's move to the end of our passage, to verses 9 and 10. "God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that, whether we're awake or asleep, we may live together with him." Because there are two kinds of being found. In 2012, after a long police search, Malcolm Naden was found out, and he's now doing life in prison for murder. But this week we saw a different police search, again in dense bushland. But this time, it was William Callaghan, a lost boy. When Jesus comes, the day of the Lord means that some people will be found out. But we will be found. We'll be found by the rescuer who's given his life to save us. We'll be found by the one who knows the map and the wilderness that we're lost in. We'll be found by the man who we long to be with and to be like. He died for us so that whether we're alive or dead when he comes, we may live together with him. The day of the Lord is good news for the world. The Lord will come. Justice, purity, perfection, fulfillment, love, life and health will be vindicated and victorious. This is good news for the world. It's bad news for the bad in the world. And those who are living in the bad will be found out. But for us, it is good news because we will be found. And Paul pointed to God and his work. God did not appoint us to suffer wrath. God appointed us to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. The good news embraces the whole world. Jesus Christ is going to rescue the world from sin and death. He's going to execute God's wrath on the evil in the world. And he'll restore the good that's been lost. And the good news embraces you and me. Because who's Jesus? Well, he's the one who died for us. For who? For anyone who believes in him. For anyone who trusts him. He died for us. He's the rescuer who's coming to shine on the world, to find out evil, and to find you. And so if you don't know Jesus, then today, speak to him. Today, become one of those people who's looking forward not to being found out, but to being found. Not to having him come in anger, but to give you salvation, to rescue you. If you do know him, well, verse 11, therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. That's how chapter 4 ended. This whole section from 4 verse 13 to chapter 5 verse 11 is written to encourage believers. Both halves finish with the idea that we will be together with Jesus Christ. That's what's so encouraging. Last week was all about those who have died in Christ. And this week is all about we who are still living for Christ. But whether we're alive or dead, we will be together with him. We'll be found. We look forward to being found by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, looking forward to Jesus and following Jesus, we're becoming more and more people of our leader. We're becoming his people, people of the new day that he's bringing in. We're becoming children of the light. Have a look at verse 4. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So there are two big contrasts here, light versus darkness and night versus day. Remember the poem that I read from Job 24. The darkness of night harbours murder and theft and adultery. In our physical world, light powers life and it enables goodness and it exposes evil. And so this passage contrasts light and life and goodness with darkness and death and wickedness, with hiding our evil rather than letting it be found and dealt with. At night, we're frustrated because we won't know what's happening until the morning, when the wickedness is revealed and found out. But in the day, well, the day is the time of knowledge, of judgment, of justice against ignorance and wickedness and frustration. And here especially, Paul is talking about that day, the day that the Lord comes, the day that perfect knowledge and justice are brought to bear on our world, which frankly has a lot of ignorance and wickedness and frustration and injustice. That day versus this night, this present time that we're in. This passage says that Christians, people who hope in Jesus Christ, are children of the light and children of that final day. That means that we're people characterized by that final day. That's what being the children of the day means. We've got the same qualities as the light. We've got a transparent life, a goodness that doesn't need to hide. It means that as we look forward to the day, we've become people who live for the day. As we follow Jesus, we become like him because God has adopted us as his children. Now, a parent adopts a child. A child can't make the parents adopt them. Adoption is a choice by the parent, which means you can't make God let you into heaven. But God can make you immortal. You can't make God let you into his kingdom. He's the king, not you, but God can choose to make you holy. You can't make God let you into his family, but God can choose to make you his child. And he has. God has made you his child. You are children of the light and of the day. So here's how not to apply that. Don't apply this by hiding your failures and your sin and then kind of polishing up the mask that you wear to hide your sins. Because if you do that, you're not letting the light shine into you and shine through you to other people. You're making it bounce off. And there are plenty of people who will tell you that the glare from a whole bunch of shiny Christians gathering together, just letting the light bounce off them, gives them a headache. People don't like it. If you're a shiny Christian, you will live in constant fear of being found out, not of being found. And so you won't go to God longing to be found by him, longing to have your sin dealt with. You'll cover it up and polish yourself up. Don't lie to yourself. Don't lie to God. Don't lie to the rest of us here at church. We can't lie to one another. And don't even lie to your friends. Don't fake it till you make it. Don't pretend that, well, Jesus is in my life now, so everything's wonderful. They won't know forgiveness until they can see that you've got sins that you're working through and that God is forgiving you for. If you don't confess your sin, how will they know what forgiveness looks like in your life? None of us is perfectly like Jesus. But when he finds us, when he rescues us, when we're with him forever, then we will be like him. You are God's child. You take after your father and your big brother. That's who you are now. And one day, gloriously, that's exactly who you will be. So the last point to make from this passage is to be who you are. Have a look at verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. So then, it says, so then, because we are children of the light and of the day, let's live that way. Let's be awake and sober, which means not drunk. It means not the kind of behavior that goes on in the darkness. It means self-controlled. The night is the time for sleeping and for getting drunk, for abandoning being alert, for abandoning self-control, but we belong to the day. We know that ignorance and foolishness won't last, and so let's be alert and sober. We have a choice. There's a way of living that makes sense in our world now, a world that has lots of darkness and corruption and wickedness. In our world, lots of people get away with lots of things lots of the time. Will we live in that world? We could live in a way that fits that. Or we can live as people who know that that world is passing away. We can live as people who are looking forward to being found. We can be people who love the light. We can make choices for others and for what is fair, not just what suits ourselves. Now, to illustrate this, Paul tells us, put on the armour of God. This is his very first letter. Okay, he hasn't written Ephesians 6 yet. No one's written any songs about it. But this is the first time he tells people to do this. Strapping on armour is a really deliberate decision. If you're strapping on armour, you're thinking about the things that are going to happen to you that day, or maybe the things that might happen. And you're deciding, yeah, no, I need this. I need to put this stuff on. You're thinking about your near future, and you're making a decision ahead of time. Instead of the malice and the wickedness that we know is around us, let's deliberately strap on faith and love as a breastplate. Now, why does that make any sense? Why would we do that? Well, because of the hope of salvation. Without that, we're just living in the dark in a way that is wildly inappropriate. It makes about as much sense as wearing your pajamas to church. We can look forward to the day of the Lord, and we can live into the day of the Lord, live forward into the peace and the righteousness that will come fully then, because God has promised that Jesus will come, because we have this hope of salvation. So equip yourself with hope and strap on, choose to trust him and choose to love. There'll be times that you can't see the harm that sin is doing. Choose to trust God. There'll be times when you can see the disadvantage that obeying is going to bring you. Choose to trust God. There'll be times when you need rescuing and you think you can see how someone or something else, other than God, could be your rescuer. Choose to trust God. Choose to love. We follow our Lord Jesus who died for us so that we might live with him. We follow our Lord who loves us. So let's make practical decisions every day for other people out of the love that God's given us. Day is coming. The light is coming. We're all going to be exposed. Some of us will be found out, but some of us will be found. So be among those who are found. You are part of the family of the day. Start living in the light now, looking forward to the day, living forward into that day, choosing faith and hope in love. Father, thank you for making us children of the day. Make us your children more and more each day until that day. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.